Beginning in the verse 13, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter, please. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. We trust the Lord to bless the public reading of His Word for His own name's sake. We know that this Word is truth, and we know, as the Lord said, that we are sanctified by His truth. So just in the reading of God's Word here this morning, the Lord, by His Spirit and by His power, is sanctifying all of us who are in earshot of this Word. I want to draw our attention to the verse 20, and that's going to be my text here this morning. And so we read here, John says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And these are the words of Christ, really. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. If we could just again briefly bow in a word of prayer, and looking to the Lord for His grace and for His favor. I need the Lord's help. I need the Lord's power. And so I trust that He'll come even in this time and graciously give us what we need for this act of worship. Our Heavenly Father, we again give Thee thanks for the return of this Thy day. Lord, help us never to take for granted the Lord's day. We thank You, Lord, that we can come and worship Thee, that we can come and hear from heaven. Lord, I pray that as we have already read, that we would take heed to the Word of God, which states, He that hath an ear, let him hear. Lord, give us, as it were, the ears of Samuel. Let us hear the speaking voice of God through the Word of God. Lord, I ask that You will help me, that You will undertake for me. Lord, that You will use me simply as the Lord's messenger with the Lord's message. Lord, I confess that I have no power in and of myself to bless these dear folk. And so I ask, Lord, that Thou would come and make that Holy Ghost real in this place. Empower me, Thy servant. Use me simply as a channel of blessing. In this hour, we pray. So go before us and make the way clear and plain. Help us each one, we ask for Christ's sake, in whose name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. The church in Laodicea illustrates for us this morning how it is possible to have wrong thoughts of ourselves. The Laodicean church thought that everything was going all right spiritually, that all was well with their soul. And if I could use the vernacular of our day, if I could speak somewhat colloquial, they thought that they had arrived. However, the Apostle John saw in his vision quite the opposite. He describes them as being neither hot or cold, but lukewarm. When John describes the church at Laodicea as being lukewarm, he is not, and I hope you understand this, he's not describing them or describing their spiritual temperature, as it were. If he was describing spiritual temperature, then you would think lukewarm would be good because it's not cold. It's above being cold. But he's not describing here a spiritual temperature. He's not saying that their spiritual temperature was moderate. If our Lord is dealing with temperature, then, as I said, you would think that he would be encouraged, that he would even be pleased with what he saw in the church at Laodicea. But he's not. John describes Laodicea to be like water when it's tepid, when it's lukewarm. It has this tendency in many cases to make the stomach feel nauseous or queasy or sick. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ said to Laodicea, really with great abhorrence, because you are lukewarm, I will spew thee out. In essence, the Lord is saying to the church at Laodicea, you're making me sick. Do you remember the characteristics of the church at Laodicea? Now, we read some of them as we read the portion of Scripture. And the church in Laodicea was really, in many respects, a self-sufficient entity. They were self-satisfied, you could say. It said in verse 17, and we read, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, they made the statement because they were a very industrious church. And I'm sure they did not, if I could say it this way, they didn't let a lot of grass grow under their feet. They kept busy. And as I said, they were very, very industrious. They were, in many respects, very blessed with the talent that they had. They had physicians who worked diligently, who produced an ointment that would help eyes to heal. Also, they were involved in the textile industry, manufacturing a fine, glossy black garment that was sold and even exported throughout all the world. Sadly, their self-sufficiency and their satisfaction produced in them really a complacency and an indifference towards spiritual things. It was a church in many ways that learned how to, if we could say it this way, go through the motions of religion, which then ultimately resulted in their spiritual pride. Now, I can only imagine and guess that they were faithful in their attendance, that they regularly paid their tithes to the Lord. They even publicly, you could say, praised the Lord for what they have received. But our Lord saw them really in a most deplorable condition. In verse 17, again to read, he says, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. One of the things I am learning in my Christian walk is that the Lord knows me better than I know myself. And the Lord knew His church better than He knew themselves. Christ exhorted the church to capitalize on Him instead of their industry. He counsels Laodicea, saying, "Buy of me gold tried of the fire. For the money that you're pursuing, it really will not last. It will not endure, as it were, the heat." And so Christ is telling them that they are not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the very precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I think of the church in Laodicea and their industry and everything that they possessed, I can't help but think of the text of Scripture. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, instead of their glossy black garment that they produced, you know, He tells them to put on my robe of white, to put on my robe of righteousness that will cover your nakedness. It will cover yourself. It will cover your sin. It will cover your shame. And instead of your ointment that you're seeking to produce, you know, the ointment that you're trying to heal eyes with, take of my eye salve, that you may really see. You know, the Lord said these things to them, and it's very harsh. And He said these things, though as harsh as it may sound, He said these things because He loved His church. And John describes them as a candlestick. Again, as you read in the opening words or chapters of the book of the Revelation, this was the Lord's church. They are described as a candlestick, and it's just coming to my mind when we read the Word of God, we find it stating that we are to be the light of the world. And what we are not to do is to take that light and to put it under a bushel and to hide that light. And I think that's exactly what the church in Laodicea was doing. They were hiding their light, all the while they were producing and being industrious. Their focus was taken off the Lord. They were the Lord's candlestick. And we know that Christ, because this is His church, He cannot wink at sin. He cannot let His beloved compromise themselves. They cannot compromise their treasure, their gain, their pride, their religion for communion with themselves or with Himself. And so that's why the Lord, He comes. And our Lord said in the verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." You read in the book of Proverbs, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And so we learn that really faithful are the wounds of a friend. Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Faithful are His words to His church. And so in all their industry, Laodicea, they did not even know that the Lord had departed from their midst. And I think that's something we need to pick up on. And I say that because the text that I want really to leave with you here this morning says that Christ was standing outside the door and He was graciously knocking and wanting the church to invite Him in and receive His fellowship. And so this morning, what I simply want to do is to expand on that thought and deal with the gracious knock of Christ. And as we deal with that thought here this morning, I want to give us, you know, some attention to a number of verses or a number of points. You know, as we think of the gracious knock of Christ, you know, Christ really is all sufficient, is he not? He is all satisfying to the church that invites him in for his fellowship. Let's look here, first of all, in the text. You know, Christ earnestly desires to fellowship with his church. In verse 20 it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." Now, in my Christian walk, and as I look at it over the past years, I learned that the Lord is not passive, but he is active in seeking us in order that we might have and know his communion. You remember, and it's just come to me here in Matthew, you remember how the Lord, he went out and he went after that one lost sheep, and how the shepherd, he left the 99 in the illustration to go after one. He diligently looked for that one lost sheep. You know, Laodicea, you know, they didn't even realize, they didn't even know that they had gone astray, and that the Lord was not in their midst. And yet the Lord was graciously pursuing them, lovingly pursuing them and their fellowship. You know, the Lord was not going to, and he doesn't let his church go astray without making a concerted effort to fellowship with them. And I say that because the text points that out. Christ is at the door of the church. He says, "Behold, I." And as I look at this text, as we start to dissect this text, you know, I can't help but think who and what else stands at the church's door trying and knocking to get in and to win the fellowship of God's people. There are other things that are desiring to come into the church of God. It wants to fellowship with you. Outside those doors, that wants to come in is worldliness. Worldliness. You know, you think of what all that means. Its views, its acceptance. Worldliness wants to come into the church and wants to attach itself to God's people. How about wickedness? Wickedness as well wants to come in. You know, it wants to come in and again associate itself with the people of God and with the church of God. And I can't help but think of possibly, you know, ecumenism or the World Council of Churches. You know, we'll all come together. We'll all accept our views together. You know, that view wants to come into the church and be among God's people. You know, all these things really are against Christ and his word. The Bible is very clear. It unequivocally states, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We do not approach the Father through wickedness, through the World Council of Churches. We don't come to him through worldliness. We come to him through the Word of God. But yet all these things are trying to make their entrance into the church. What is, yes, they're all trying to come in, but thanks be to God, Christ is also at the door, and he's wanting in, and he's seeking in. Verse 14 says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Amen. That's another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is the verily, verily, He is the final word. He is the judge and the justifier. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 2 says, God in these last days has spoken to us by His Son. He is the Amen. He is the faithful and true witness. You know, we read already this morning in Sunday school, you know, in John chapter 1, He is the truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And when Christ speaks, does He not speak His truth in love? He is also the foundation of all things. You know, you read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, for by Him all things were created. So, the text of Scripture says, behold, I. Who is this I? He's the Amen. He's the faithful and true witness. He is the foundation of all these things, or all things. And here's the one who is described for us in the Word of God. And He wants to come in, and He wants to fellowship with His church. And how do I know that? How do I know that this one who has created all things, this one who speaks truth, this one who has the final say in all matters, He wants to come in? Well, again, the text of Scripture says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. His fellowship with the church, His desire to come in, is initiated by love. No other motive. By love. As many as I love. And if the Lord did not love His church, why then would He initiate contact with it? You know, you think of this in the realm of redemption. Did you seek the Lord when you got saved? Yes, I know that the Lord works in us, that the Lord empowers us. We're regenerate. We go to Him. But who went to the Lord before you were unconverted? Really, you didn't have that power. You didn't have that ability. You didn't have that desire. No, the Lord was seeking us, and in turn, we sought Him. And here's the same instance. He comes and He seeks fellowship with His church, and it's motivated by love. Greater love hath no man than this. For God so loved the world. As the Father loved me, so I loved you. And if this is true in redemption, then it's equally true in His fellowship for His people. He loves the church that He purchased. And He wants to fellowship with it. It's marked by patience. Here He stands at the door. Behold, I stand at the door. I love this characteristic about our Lord. You know, He wasn't rushed, but He was deliberate and He was patient. You know, over the years, I have knocked on many doors as far as giving out tracts. I don't know if you do that in this church or not, or you do it on your own time. And I don't know about you, but I find myself to be, you know, I get intimidated, I get afraid, I get nervous. And so I'll quickly knock on the door and I'll hightail it out of there before I come into contact with somebody at the door. There's just a genuine nervousness and a fear that comes over me. And you really, yes, as much as you want to give the word, as much as you want to share the good news, yet, you know, the fear of man, as the Bible says, lays a snare. But the Lord here, He's at the church's door. He's not running away. He's being deliberate. He's being patient. You know, the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering to usward who believe. And so He's desiring for fellowship. It's initiated by love. It's marked by patience. It's a deliberate act. And then we find as well that it grew stronger in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. You know, the Lord wasn't content with just knocking at the door. The Lord wasn't just knocking softly. But he started knocking loudly. And he started saying, is anybody in there that I can fellowship with? He's not going to give up easily. And so it's initiated by love, this fellowship. It's marked by patience, and it grew stronger. He wasn't content with just a single knock, but he knocked continuously, and he's calling out for fellowship. And so he earnestly desires, the Lord earnestly desires to fellowship with his church. And it's interesting, the text goes on to really teach us that Christ then waits for our response. There is something that we must do. You know, our Lord stood knocking and he stood calling, and he's showing the church in Laodicea that it's not too late to invite them in. It's not too late to bring them in. And I'm amazed to see how the Lord deals with his people. You know, Christ could have easily opened the door. He could have barged right on in, as it were, if we could say it that way. However, he didn't do that. And so we find in the passage that Christ makes the condition and he sets the responsibility. He puts the onus, as it were, on us and on the church. And he tells them, therefore, be zealous and repent. He told the church at Laodicea, turn from your complacency, in other words, turn from your indifference, turn from your self-sufficiency, turn from your self-satisfaction, and turn to me. Embrace me once again, who gave you this ability, who gave you all these things. You know, let me be your friend, as it were, again. Instead of keeping me, as it were, at arm's distance or like a stranger. Bring me in. Bring me closer. You know, what's so beautiful about this passage is that it's not just left to one. It's not left just to the leadership. It's left to all. You read again in verse 20. You know, it says here, anyone can respond to Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. So anybody who is in the congregation, and if they hear the Lord knocking, if they hear the Lord calling, you can let him in. You can invite him in. Whether you're young or old, you can invite him in. What an invitation this is to any people. But what a responsibility. You know, we must bring Christ in. We must bring him into our churches as our friend, as our Savior. You know, again, over the years I'm learning, you know, how the Lord deals with his people. And I appreciate so much the way in which he deals with me. You know, the Lord doesn't tell me to do something that's too hard for me to do. He doesn't give me a command. He doesn't say things that I can't do. And so in this passage of Scripture, we learn that the Lord does not intend my response to be hard. You know, he's not saying that this is the impossible. Simply says, hear my voice. John 10 and verse 4 says, only those who follow Christ, only those who are followers of the Lamb can hear his voice. And as I've already prayed this morning, then what we need is to have the ears of Samuel, that I may hear his still small voice. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear. You know, again, to take heed to the word of God in verse 13 and then in verse 22, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And, you know, the other thing, it's not hard for us, anybody, to open the door. It's a very simple act. To open the door, to hear his voice and open the door. And really, that's a metaphor to invite Christ in. And what's the reward, I guess, in all of this? You know, the joy in responding to Christ's knock and hearing his voice. The text of Scripture goes on to say, I will sup with him and he with me. What a communion, what a fellowship that is. And when you have Christ with you, when you have him near you, you know his presence. And Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. You get his presence when you invite him in. Not only just his presence, but you get his fellowship. And really, that's what believers are called to do with their Lord, is to fellowship with him and ultimately one with the other. You know, the calling of God is real when the believer has true fellowship with Christ. And this fellowship demands then a life of holiness, we know. But 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son. That's what we're created to do as new creatures in Christ. But let me end this by saying, you know, there's a real danger for not inviting Christ into the church. There's a warning here. And we already read the warning, and we find that the Lord is saying that if you don't invite me in, if you don't bring me in to have fellowship, if you don't enjoy my company, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spew thee out. The church will no longer be a witness to the world. That's a scary thought. Oh, yes. You know, they believe that they're the church, but they're going to be no longer effective. You know, that's a scary thing, to have Ichabod written on the front of the door, that the glory of the Lord has departed. The church is going to continue in its terrible condition. You know, they had all this eye salve, and yet they couldn't see where they were going. They're going to continue to live, as it were, in ignorance. Living, as the text says, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked in the sight of Christ. And ultimately, in verse 21, we read that the church will not share in Christ's glory. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and set down with my Father in his throne. You know, it would be terrible not to enjoy living in the victory of Christ. You know, it would be a terrible commentary for any church, whether it's in our denomination or in other faithful denominations, to reject Christ. You know, we think that we got to have this and that and all the other stuff brought in. Unfortunately, sometimes we think that we need to bring all these things in, and they may be good in and of themselves, but yet we forget to bring Christ in. And so how important it is for us as God's people, week after week, month after month, year after year, to bring Christ with us. Not leave him out the door, but invite him in continually. You know, we're not to be like the Laodicean church. They were self-sufficient. They were self-satisfying. But let us all really continue to say, like the Apostle John in 1 John 1:3, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this text of Scripture is for the church. Now, we could make application to those here this morning who know not the Lord, who are not saved. And it could be said of you that you're trusting in your self-sufficiency, your industry. And believe it or not, Christ may be standing at the door of your heart, knocking to get in. Do you hear His voice? Will you open up your heart to Him and receive Him as your Savior? The powerful text, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." I trust the Lord to bless this word to our hearts for His name's sake. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we again give Thee thanks for these words of Scripture. Thank You, Lord, for the way in which You dealt with the church at Laodicea. And Lord, we're thankful that we can learn from Scripture. Lord, I pray that You will keep us as a denomination from being like the church at Laodicea. Lord, help us to take this as a warning here this morning. Whether we are great in number or in few in number, Lord, I pray that You'll help us never to rely upon the arm of the flesh, but on the power of God in Christ. Lord, I pray that You'll teach us always to bring Christ into the gathering. And Lord, forgive us for those times when, yes, our garments have been spotted by the world and we've sought to bring in worldliness unwittingly. Lord, we have not lived the life that You have called us to live. We have not walked worthy of that vocation, and we've brought in wickedness. Lord, keep us from even bringing in associations that would be against the Word of God. Oh, Lord, I pray that You will help us never to be like the church at Laodicea. Lord, how we do give Thee thanks, though, for the character of God that we have read. We thank You for the desire that You have to fellowship with Your people. And so, Lord, I pray that You will help us always to know His presence, to know His power. Lord, I do pray that You'll bless this church richly for Christ's sake. That those that You bring in to worship Thee, Lord, will know always His joy, His presence. Again, Lord, we just thank You for this day, for this morning time. Bless the Word of God to us. Hide Thy Word within our hearts that we would not sin against Thee. Help us to go from this place rejoicing in who Thou art and what Thou hast accomplished in us and through us. So part us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.